in April, college acceptance letters go out. This year, Wilson College in Central Pennsylvania is doing something it's never done before, sending acceptance letters to young men. Now, Wilson has a handful of male students who commute for graduate and adult ed programs, but the undergraduate program has been all female since 1869. There were once hundreds of all-female colleges in the U.S. The number is down now to just above 40. We're going to take a broader look in a minute. But Wilson says its debt was rising, especially with the new science building. Its enrollment was low. And after intense study, it decided to go co-ed. Now, we're hearing from students. Glynis Thomas, class of 1983, says Wilson College didn't listen to the hundreds of voices registering in protest at change.org and at pinesandmaples.com, and that the school may lose alumni support. Let's start with the president of Wilson College, Dr. Barbara Mystic. Dr. Mystic, has this been a tough decision to make to go co-ed?
Certainly it was a difficult decision. I think women's institutions take their mission as serving women very seriously, so it was a hard and very emotional conversation for us. But what we found at the end of our study was that really extending the education at Wilson College really made great sense for us.
Yeah, the trick is, though, that the women who do attend do so passionately. We understand that your students were hanging banners made out of bed sheets out of the windows, and they made up a T-shirt, Empowering Women Since 1869. So how do you deal with the women who came to Wilson College thinking they were going to an all-girls school?
Well, a number of our students here were very passionate about remaining single sex. We also had a number of students who were very passionate about becoming a coeducational institution. I think what's most important for us on a college campus is to encourage the dialogue, because once we can understand the value of being single sex, we can make sure that we hold on to it as we move forward.
Well, how are you going to do that? We know, for instance, in 1996, your school was one of the first in the country to offer an on-campus residential school experience for single moms with children. I mean, this idea of being female-centric seems so important to the school. So how will you allow men in and still keep that? What women say is one of the only places they can get. I'm reading comments, a woman who says, I never would have had the opportunity for leadership or development if it weren't an all-female school. How do you keep that?
We need to change in some of our procedures and policies, but there are many places where we're going to hold on to the same kind of teaching standards. What we do here is really a very personal experience, an opportunity to work directly with faculty. So, you know, I think that we'll be able to offer to men students that same kind of wonderful experience that women have had.
By the way, have you heard how many young men are going to take you up on this, and how many applied?
For 2013, we're going to have male students as commuters, and then we'll have male students residentially in 2014. So right now, I think we've got 6 male students that have been admitted and have confirmed already, and I know that there are a whole number of other students that are in process right now.
So six male students. This, though, reminds me of when Vassar went co-ed, and those first men in still to this day talk about how great it was.
The interesting thing is that a day after the decision was made, all of my emails that day were from men who were graduates of the college in the adult degree program telling me what a great experience that they had, how being in a classroom with women really changed their understanding of the human condition. And we're actually getting more women who want to apply to Wilson now that they know we're going to be a coeducational institution.
This is what the consultants told you would happen, that the women would come in bigger numbers.
Absolutely. And so I think, you know, we will end up educating more women as a coeducational institution than we did as a single-sex institution. A lot of women are really coming for programs. And many women actually said that they came here in spite of the fact that we were a women's college, because they valued the programs that we had here.
Do you think women's colleges may be victims of their own success? If you have women's schools like Wellesley, producing the Hillary Clintons of the world, you know, helping women make all these great strides, does it almost mean that there might not be as much need for women's schools?
You know, I think the future of single-sex institutions really came into question in the late 60s and through the 70s. And when most of the men's institutions started to go coeducational, many of the women's institutions, take, for example, Vassar, made the decision early on. And young women today are finding a more open landscape. So they are looking to replicate that when they look at colleges. So if we want to continue to respond to the women's market and continue to really help women find themselves in an institution, perhaps being coeducational will help us do that.
at the same time, you're going to trim your tuition and have a loan buyback program. Tell us more about that.
One of the things that we really recognized in the study that we did was that so many students are struggling to pay for their college education. So what we have decided to do is to reduce our tuition by $5,000. That's a 17% reduction, and institute a loan buyback program that will be available to those who graduate in 4 years and who meet certain GPA standards. You know, I'm really concerned by the number of young people I talked to who said, I signed on for a loan and I didn't really know what it meant.
Well, we know the buyback will be up to $10,000. That's pretty cool to reduce somebody's tuition $10,000 if they stay for 4 years. But the cynic might say, is that just a way to keep the women who might be upset by this decision to go co-ed, to keep them in the school?
I can tell you, Robin, we really want to get as many students here as possible, and students might make decisions that they want to go to a community college or to go to another institution for a year or two and then come here a little bit later. It's a complex conversation about financing and education today, mm-hmm. and I firmly believe that this financial piece is part of helping students be successful.
So this idea of going co-ed, just very briefly, I'm imagining dorms have to be renovated, sports have to be integrated, bruised feelings have to be soothed.
Yes, I think, Robin, it's all of those things. It's about having a continuing dialogue about our commitment to equality, but it's also about updates to the locker rooms. We have already brought on a cross-country coach and a basketball coach. So on the living arrangement side, you know, our resident assistants and our student life folks are having very thoughtful conversations. That's one of the really wonderful things about change, is the opportunity to have a really considered conversation about where we're going to live and how we're going to live together and what kind of standards do we want to have in our community.
Dr. Barbara Mystic, president of Wilson College in Pennsylvania, which is going co-ed, thanks very much.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, when we come back, why are other women's schools like Wellesley thriving? And by the way, what do you think about all this, especially if you're sitting at a women's school right now? Let us know, hereandnow.org. And a quick note, later, a cookbook for kids going through chemo. It's just terrific. But back in a minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation about women's colleges. We just heard from Barbara Mystic, the president of Wilson College in Pennsylvania, a women's school since 1869 that just went co-ed to increase enrollment and stay alive financially. In recent years, Randolph-Macon, Hood College, and Peace College have done the same. Enrollments are declining at many women's schools. Most have small endowments. So how do the ones that survive do it? David Strauss is a principal at the education consulting firm Arts and Science Group. And David, only 2% of women say they're interested in applying at women's schools. And we spoke about maybe with the women's movement, women feel they can get a fair shake elsewhere. But why do you think so few women are attracted to all women's schools?
It largely revolves in our studies around two things: the social aspect of young women who want to be in college with young men.
Mm-hmm.
But also a misperception we find, especially among high-performing students, that women's colleges might be for people who need them, as opposed to people who might benefit from them.
Need them? Why would you need it?
The perceptions of some of these young women would be that the women's college is best for the student who needs some support and nurturing that many strong young women don't think they in fact need.
Oh, that is so funny, considering that, oh, Hillary Clinton went to Wellesley. You know, not someone who's a slouch in the self-confidence category.
And my wife, and my sister, actually.
Oh, really?
I'm right with you.
So funny. There's that perception. Well, but
it's an inaccurate perception. These institutions, by their missions, don't exist to serve broken wings, but rather to serve young women of strength and voice, who can project that voice further through the experience.
Well, mentioning Wellesley also raises the question: why is a school like Wellesley, all girls, so healthy?
What we generally find is this, and it's surprising. for most of these young women, they're not looking for a women's college and then deciding among women's colleges they're considering. They're looking at a mix of institutions, large and small, co-ed and single sex. And what draws them to a successful women's college is something about that school that makes that student want to be there in spite of, rather than because of, the fact that it's a college for women. Wellesley is remarkably strong academically. It's close to Boston. It has an immense amount of interactions, intellectual and social, with MIT and with Harvard. There are all kinds of things about Wellesley that make it an appealing place to be, whether or not you want to be at a women's college.
Barnard has Columbia, Mount Holyoke, and Smith are in consortium with Amherst, UMass Amherst, and Hampshire College. In other words, they've joined forces with other schools. Is that something that helps an all-girls school survive?
It helps some. In the instance of Barnard, you'll see Barnard's application numbers significantly higher than most women's colleges. And no doubt that is in part true because Barnard's a wonderful institution. But it's also true for the very reason that you noted. Going to Barnard is essentially single sex when you want it to be, and coeducational in every other aspect, coeducational with one of the great universities in the country as well.
Wilson College served young women without a lot of financial means in rural Pennsylvania. The majority of students are on financial aid. And yet I'm wondering if that character was its downfall, because you don't have the money coming in.
It's one of the great areas in which these things can appear unfair. What you described at Wilson is a very, very common story. The problem we've seen among many women's colleges is that as they have come to serve well needy populations, many of them have lost their share of the full-paying part of the population, or the fuller-paying part of the population, leaving them struggling financially.
So, David Strauss, what do you think is the future of an all-women's college?
To the extent that prospective students can come to recognize value in these women's colleges, they will continue to play a critical role. That marketplace of prospective students, however, is having right now a hard time recognizing that value. So in the long run, those that can articulate a reason why students should attend them, other than the fact that they are women's colleges, will do well. Those that do not articulate a compelling reason for students to attend them beyond the fact of being institutions that serve women will have a very hard time.
It sounds to me, too, that there might be a role for alumni. We mentioned a comment in the previous segment, a comment in one of the press reports from a graduate who said, I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't have the mentoring, the opportunities that she felt she had at an all-women's school that she wouldn't have had if she had to compete and elbow out men. We know what the statistics are, that men are called on before women, they're seen and heard before women are. Does that information have to get out as well?
That's a tough one. We know, as adults, the limitations that the marketplace, that the workplace, that the glass ceiling places on the success of women, and that is mirrored in the classroom at a young age. Women tend to outperform men academically, but there are all kinds of societal pressures against it. These institutions represent a solution to that, but it's very difficult for an 18-year-old to see it. The stronger that 18-year-old is, the more likely she is to think that she doesn't need it. And yet we know that when young women matriculate at and go through an experience at a women's college, most of them become converts. They come to get it, but it's very hard for them to get it on the front end.
David Strauss from the education consulting firm Arts and Science Group. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Again, students, we'd love to hear your thoughts at hereandnow.org. You can tweet me at hereandnowrobin. We'd love to hear from you. Quick note, tomorrow on Here and Now, we're going to speak with Christopher Dickey, veteran journalist, who will talk about his dad, James Dickey, the Deliverance author and poet. That's tomorrow. Latest news is next. Here and Now.